Okay. Did the brother mention that on the 1st is Labor Day weekend? And so my thought is that if we had communion on Sunday, then people could probably stay longer in fellowship and they wouldn't be so tired the next day because they don't have to get up. So anyway, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this word. And we know that, Lord, you've been teaching us and getting us ready and just feeling comfortable with our transition into the other side. So, Lord, and we're thankful for all the quotes that we see also, because we realize that the new earth is going to be such a wonderful place. Brother Bram said there'd be parks and there'd be avenues and all the houses would be made of transparent gold. And so, Lord, we know that all things work to the good, or for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. And Lord, we believe with all our hearts that we are the called. So Lord, we just commit this service now into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, we're going to continue with the DNA of God, number 2. Now we left off last week showing you where Brother Branham said from Show Us the Father, you're the blood of your father and your mother. But being born again, you become the blood of God, the blood of Christ, cleansing us. Now, our natural DNA is from our parents, okay? But our spiritual DNA is from God. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, that was transferred to us. Now, the blood went into the earth when he died, and maybe just been a few drops, maybe been pints. We don't know how much of that blood came into the earth. But we do know that this body is made up of the earth. And so we do know that blood, there was a blood transfusion at the time. And we received that transfusion, even though we didn't come along for 2,000 years later, but our bodies were in the earth. All right. So anyway, thus we saw how that the law of life in Genesis 1:11, every seed after its kind, is a pattern for all life and is a governing force in every life. That's why Brother Branham spent 6.5 hours on 2 sermons, morning and afternoon, preaching the spoken word is the original seed. And we spent 268 sermons on that one, or actually two sermons of Brother Branham. So that's quite a bit. Now, and until we're born of his spirit, we have the law of life of the genes or DNA from both our parents that govern our earthly lives, okay? And I say govern because you can't do what your DNA doesn't have. I mean, you know, there was an old saying years ago, white man can't jump. Well, some can, some can't. But, you know, basically you can't be a basketball player if you're only 5'2", you know. In other words, you've got to have the DNA in your body. And, you know, you can't be a professional athlete if you don't have the genes to be one. So it's not that you tried and you didn't make it, but it's you just don't have what it takes to make it. And see, 99% of the people in this, I say probably 99.99999% of the people in this world don't have the genes to be a son of God. They don't, but you do. And I'm thankful for that. Now, but John 1:12 tells us, it says, we are born again, not of the flesh. Okay, so our parents have nothing to do with your new birth, nor of the will of the flesh. That means you didn't have anything to do with it. But God, nor man, but God. So anyway, Paul says this law of life when you are born again is actually called in Romans 8:2 the law of the life of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now he's making reference to Genesis 1:11, the law of life. But see, everything has a law of life if it's living. If it's, you know, but if it doesn't have life in it, then of course a rock doesn't have the law of life. But so, serpent seed have the law of life, but they got serpent life. All right, that's why you see so much rottenness in this world. So Paul tells us the law of life of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and he tells us it frees us up from our other DNA, our natural DNA. It hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So you see, when you're born again, it frees you up from this carcass. All right? So it takes over our life, and we become the very expression of the God life that is now governing this body, and it makes us free from our earthly DNA. Now, that's really a good thing to know because, you know, there isn't any of us that's a perfect being, and even though we try, we fail. But Jesus wasn't born of the will of the flesh or the will of God. He's born of the will of God. And his body was actually a created body by God. And so he didn't have the constraints that we have, the sinful constraints in this body. So with this thought, I'd like to move on to point number two this morning, where we begin showing that the death of Christ was all about imparting life. God imparted his own life into his son, and his son, by shedding his blood, his life on Calvary, the very blood and thus the very life that manifested itself out in him, is made available for all other preordained sons. It's not, the blood of Christ was not shed for every Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm sorry, you can say, well, oh, the whole world is saved by the blood of Christ. No, the whole world is not, or God would have foreordained them to be saved. See, it's only for those who are in the mind of God as attributes of God. It does not come back on everyone who is born of earthly DNA. It comes back for those it was ordained to quicken to life. Paul says, and you hath he quickened. In fact, in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So your DNA was dead, your earthly DNA, because what? Calcium, is that living? No, it's dead. Potash, is that living? No, it's dead. You know, all these attributes of the earth that Brother Branham named that we're made out of, they're all dead substance. They're innate substance, okay? So we were dead, but he hath quickened us. So he has actually infused his life into that clay, and now that clay is expressing the life of God and not the life of the clay. All right? The life was released upon the church to bring forth other sons of God, and thus the blood released the life of God that was in the firstborn son to come back on other sons. Now, I just can't get enough of this, okay? I mean, this tells us that we are brothers, okay? We are co-equal. We are joint heirs, okay? We're joint heirs with Christ. Not co-equal in the fact that he has a without measure, we have it with measure, but co-equal in that we are sons of God, okay? So last week, we have thoroughly established that Jesus was the blood of God, and that in his blood housed the very life and nature of God's DNA. Now this morning, we are making another turn, so just stay with me, as we're going to show you that the very life that was in Christ Jesus, the firstborn son of God, also comes into sons, okay? And with that, God life, we are able to become manifested as sons of God in the very image of the firstborn son. You see, where the manifested sons of God Pentecostalism was wrong was you've got to be a son of God to manifest as a son of God. They tried to produce it themselves, just like Satan tried to produce the things himself. It doesn't work if you're not a son. You know, like Brother Branham comments, he said one of the men he was talking to, believers, pastors, he said, if you can just think of it, all these holy, holy, holy angels, they don't have any God life in them. All right, they're created beings, but they're not sons. So they are not what you are. They never will be, but you know, it's like, and I don't say this to be funny, but it's like Tesla's AI or his robot 3 or whatever you call Gen 3. It'll do all these services and stuff for you, but they're not human. And angels can do all this they want, but they're not human, okay? And so they don't know the grace of God. They don't understand the mercy of God like we do. And with that God life, we were able to become manifested sons of God in every image, in the very image of the firstborn son. For if we do not manifest, we are still dead in our sins and our human DNA. Now, so can you understand the difference between, you know, when you say a person's been quickened by God, that he actually has God life in him now, and so he can manifest as a son that he's ordained to be. You know, Romans or John 1:12 says, you know, to him that is, what's the scripture here? Just a minute, my mind's a little blank, but to them has he, let's see here. John 1:12. All right, so you know, I wasn't planning on going to John 1:12 this morning, but we'll just read it for you anyway. All right, so it says here, yet to all who received him, that means who were of such a nature as to receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. In other words, that word right is that there's a NIV translation. I've got my King James in my office. But anyway, so it's actually when he has given them the power, okay, the word power is exousia. He's given you the ability to make a right decision. Hey, I want what God's got for me, right? A pardon is pardon for all those who accept it as pardon, but it's not a pardon if you don't accept it as a pardon, all right? Okay, so we're all born in our sins. We're all born with our DNA, our dead DNA, okay? But when we've received Christ, we have power over this dead DNA. So, to whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, that predetermined, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, if God predetermined it, it's going to happen. I remember years ago, a minister on TV, his name, he got into a lot of trouble because he's a foul person, taking pictures of what he shouldn't take and things. And he said, well, just DNA, or he said, predestination is a lie from the pits of hell. And I said, well, if it's a lie from the pits of hell, then I've got to rip out like hundreds of passages in the Bible. And now you've got a holy Bible, but it's full of holes. You don't have a holy Bible that's holy, okay? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he has also glorified. So it's a done deal with God. He's just waiting on us to make the right decisions to be what we were meant to be. So if he also glorified us, then that is past tense. And showing we also then have a DNA body of God waiting for us, a theophany waiting for us. Okay, now that makes us brother, as Brother Branham stated, being born again, you become the blood of God. And I hope you caught it, because that's vindicated. That's thus saith the Lord. You become the very DNA of God. You become the very blood of God. Now, he is not talking about the chemistry of the blood. He's talking about the very life that the chemistry of the blood contains. Just like you are living in a body of this death. Paul calls it the body of this death in Romans 7. You're living in the body of this death. He said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. So Jesus shed the very blood and life, and it came back on us, and we are delivered. Oh, that's wonderful. And as I mentioned last week, not the chemicals that bind the strands of DNA life together, but the very life itself. Now, from the token, now the blood is the chemistry of the life, but the life is something different from the blood, but the life is in the blood. Now, you see, you say, well, then why in the world didn't God just bypass all this nonsense and put us there in a glorified body to begin with, because you were here, put here for testing, trials and testing. Well, why, if we're ordained, are we tried and tested? Because you have the DNA of your parents. Now, before the foundations of the world, God knew exactly what you would look like in, you know, from your age of life, 16 to 20 years old, 18 to 20. God knew exactly what you would look like. So he had to make sure that your parents met, so you have the right complement of chromosomes to reflect the image that God saw. And then when he puts his Holy Spirit in it, now he's got a complete masterpiece, okay? So if you think, and I discussed this with Brother Vail back in 1979, if you think the virgin birth is something supernatural, something woo, it's great. It is great. But your birth is far exceeds the virgin birth, because the virgin birth came exactly the finish from the, exactly what God saw. But your birth, you had to go through your parents' meeting and your parents' parents' meeting and your parents' parents' meeting all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Whether your parent was Adam or whether your parent was the serpent. Okay? So your your DNA is basically, all DNA was corrupted because Noah was the last man that was genetically perfect. The Bible says he was perfect in his generation. That word is genetics or lineage. So all of us have a little bit of mix in us, but that's okay. It's going to be destroyed anyway, and God's going to raise it up a new body. And that, so you might have, you have something about your flesh that wasn't meant to be there, but not all of you, okay? So it's, like you said, the life is something different from the blood, but the life is in the blood. Therefore, as science has proven that the DNA is a musical chord, and we showed that last week, or a musical melody, and also it is mathematical, and is also a language, and thus it is a message, making the messenger and the message one. We covered that last week. So I asked this question, why did you receive the message so readily? Some people you can talk to, you're blue in the face, and they'll never get it. They'll never see it. Why did you see it? Come on. You were born of parents maybe that didn't believe it. But you believe it. Why? What makes you different? What makes you understand? Because the life of God. Because you were ordained. That seed that laid there had God germ in it. And then God quickened that germ to life, and now you believe that message, okay? The answer is because a predestinated God seed in your natural DNA was ordained to receive it. Remember, it says, to them that receive him, to them are born of God, okay? To them who become sons of God. So your natural DNA was ordained to receive it, like the chemicals that the life of the DNA binds to, because the God life message is who you really are. All right. Then, if we become the very blood of God by the Spirit, we become the very message of God to mankind, just as the firstborn son was God's message to mankind. That's why we recognize our brother William Branham and his message. He was ordained to reflect the message, and you are ordained to echo the same message. After all, with the same DNA or God life, you have the same Spirit. By one Spirit, the Bible says, we are all baptized into one body. You know, when you see this, what I'm talking about, the whole message becomes clear to you. It's not a bunch of doctrines that don't make any, don't fit together. And the whole message fits together. From Genesis to Revelation, the whole Bible fits together. All right. So if you have the same Spirit, then you will have the same nature, and you will have the same mind. Thus, you will speak the same things and do the same things that he did. That makes John 14:12 a part of our sonship, and thus it becomes a reality in our lives. And thus, we saw that his messenger became his message to mankind. And now the elect bride recognizes this. This is for her as well. And so it so must become the last manifestation of the message of God itself to mankind before he takes us out of here. Now, from the paradox, for instance, Brother Branham says, for instance, what if I had the jurisdiction over you as God had over everything? And I say, well, I'll tell you what. Anybody looks at that light's going to die. Like, take the tree. And the first thing you know, this brother sitting here, this would look at that, and I feel sorry for him. I don't want him to die. So I will have Terry here too, and that wouldn't be right. No. Now, what if I'd have my own son do it? That wouldn't be right. There's only one way that I can be just, and that takes his place. And God could not take a human's place being spirit. So he had created himself a body, but he let his son live in it. And his son, of course, was in the image of God. The very DNA of God was poured into that body. So then God could actually die for us. All right? Through vicariously, through his son. So God created a blood cell, which was his own body, and he loaned it to his son, Jesus Christ. And God came in and lived there, and lived and identified himself in Christ. That was God Emmanuel. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. See, God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Jesus was the body, the tabernacle. God was the spirit that lived in him. And from show us the Father, he said, now, it's many times it's been said that no man can see God at any time, but the Bible said so, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him, expressed him. That word is exegetus, I think it is. And it means he's expressed, okay? Now, Philip here was a very inquisitive, and he wanted to see the Father. And it says here, he said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. He said, when you see me, you see the Father. In other words, he saw the complete expression of who God is. So Brother Branham says, in other words, and of course notice when Brother Branham uses these words, in other words, he is going to explain how this can be that you could see the Father when you're actually seeing him. He says, you see the Father express himself through the Son. Him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him, not him doing the works. You see my hands? You see the skin. You don't see the bones, you don't see the tenues, you don't see the sinews or whatever, you don't see the blood vessels, whatever. You see my skin, right? Well, so when you're looking at Jesus, you're actually seeing God because he was expressing with every action, everything he said, he was expressing what the Father told him, okay? So this tells us, when we see the expression, we see the Father's life expressing itself, the Father's life and attributes showing themselves or expressing themselves through the vessel. He was a son himself, the immortal virgin-born Son of God, and then in him was dwelling the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people, see? Well, that shows how Christ and God were one. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? This is not one. This is not one like your finger is one, but it is an expression of who the Father is. And God's DNA becomes expressed in all sons. All right. Now Hebrews 1:3 tells us, who being the brightness of his glory, his doxa, his opinions, his values, his judgment, being the brightness or the complete expression of the very doxa of God and the express image of who God is, his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being much made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Are you a son? Then guess what? You're joint heirs. That means the inheritance he inherited, you inherited also. And of course, this tells us that being born his son automatically inherited his father's name as well. And Jesus said in John 5:43, I am come in my father's name, and you receive me not. If another comes in his own name, him you receive. From service, we would see Jesus, he said, and Jesus said in St. John, the first chapter, also the 10th chapter and 37th verse, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. In other words, what the Father had expressed that he was, if he didn't do that, then don't believe him. That's the only sensible thing, see. And St. John 5:39 said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. In other words, he was the living word. He was God's word made manifest. Oh, how I like to get that. God's word made manifest. In other words, made known. God's word made known. In other words, he was the one that God lived in to make his word known. Christ expressed that word, what the word talked to him. Amen. There you are. Christ was the expression of the word that was wrote. Christ expressed it. No wonder he said to those Pharisees, religious leaders of his day, he said, you hypocrites. He said, if the sun sets clear, you say it's going to be pretty tomorrow. If it's red and lowering, you say it'll be foul weather. He said, you can discern the face of the skies, but the sign of the times you cannot discern. Now, why do you think we spent the last few years going over all the different signs of the time? We listened to a tape on Wednesday night called The Contest. If you get a chance, go back and listen to it. The link is on the WhatsApp and it's on the also on the website. Because Brother Branham was talking about all the things happening, including the Pope coming out of America. He was talking about the political, how it's rotten, how the economy. He says we're borrowed money from 40 years from now. He said, everything is broke. Brother Branham went through detail after detail of things that are happening around us even right now as we live. And then he said, but when I get my tent, I would like to spend 6 weeks in talking about those things. So Brother Branham is going to inform all the people that have not heard these things, because I know this church has. And I know the people who have listened to us have, but there's a lot of people that are believers out there, but they have no clue. I mean, they have a guess here, a guess there. They have certain things, but they haven't put it all together like I think you people have. But Brother Branham is going to take 6 weeks to go between the lines and cover all of this, to bring everybody up to where their faith is where it should be, okay? So I think I'm really looking forward to it, because if I've said any things that are signs and events that he didn't, well, then you can scratch them, because he's going to tell us what ones are important to us, okay? But, like I said, there's 86 signs and events that the 23 scriptures that refer to the parousia, there's 86 signs and events associated with those 23 scriptures, all right? And 82 of them have already taken place, just the resurrection and the change of the body and the catching away, and I think, and one other thing, they haven't happened yet. So basically, everything that's going to take place from the resurrection onward hasn't happened, okay? But we've seen the other 82, plus all the other things like Israel becoming a nation and all these things, okay? So it says, you can discern the face of the skies, but the sign of the times you cannot discern, for if you had known me, you would have known my day, see? And we know him, and we know his day, all right? They had religion, oh my, plenty of it, but they failed to see him as the Messiah. From identification, Brother Branham said, look to him, all the ends of the world, and live. And the only way you can, his sinless nature expressed the word of God so much that he and the word was one. And he said, and I and my Father are one. I always do what pleases the Father. He didn't try to express himself or please himself. He was pleasing his Father. I and my Father are one, are just one. He was so perfect in the image of God until he and God was the express same thing. He was the flesh, the Son, that expressed the deity of God. So that he made him deity in man in order to redeem man. See, he and the Word was one. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word was God, but Brother Branham says, and the Word was flesh among us. And he and the Word became one, that the Word could express and could show to the world that example of what man should be. Again, from the token, he said, when I see the blood, that's the token. And the token here is not, because what did? He had to see the actual chemistry because the life had gone from it. It was an animal. But here it is, his own life that was in the blood, and the chemistry was only a signal or sign of sanctification. But the life itself is the token. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, then this beacon becomes an expression of holiness. That's why people see, when they look at you, they see a holy God. Because they can't, with their own mind, see God. He's invisible, but he can see the expression of God in this beacon, this vessel, okay? So he says, but the life itself is the token. For without the circumstances, without the token, you're not even in the covenant. The whole thing works together. Well, what's the covenant? He made the covenant to Abraham. He said, and all your seed after you. And we are the sons of Abraham. God made a covenant. And if you're not in the covenant, that's like 99.99999% of the world. This is not meant for you. If you say that you're circumcised through the Word, and it only, then you believe the Word. If you believe the Word, then the token's got to come. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There you are, oh my. Again, from Sirs, we was to Jesus. He said, and Jesus said in St. John, the first chapter, also in the 10th chapter, in the 37th verse, he said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. In other words, what the Father had expressed that he was. If he didn't do that, then don't believe him. That's the only sensible thing. And St. John 5:39 said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. In other words, he was a living Word. He was God's Word made manifest. Oh, how I like to get into that. God's Word made manifest. In other words, made known. God's Word made known. In other words, he was the one that God lived in to make his Word known. Christ expressed what the Word talked about. Amen? There you are. That's why Brother Branham always told us. He said, you can talk and talk and talk and talk the Word, but live me that sermon, and that'll show that what you're talking about is real. Okay? Christ was the expression of the Word that was wrote. Christ expressed it. No wonder he said to those Pharisee religious leaders of his day, he said, you're hypocrites. Said, if the sun sets clear and you say it's going to be pretty tomorrow, if it's red and lowering, you say it's going to be foul weather. Said, you can discern the face of the skies, but the sign of the times you cannot discern. For if you had known me, you would have known my day. See, they had religion, oh my, plenty of it, but they failed to see him as a Messiah. Just like this country, 60-some million people claim that they're born-again Christians. I doubt that. I doubt that. Just look at their life. Tattoos up and down their arms, piercing all over their body. They look more like serpents than they do. And they're representing, you know, he said, you do what your father done. Jesus said that. He said, you're of your father, the devil, and you do what he says. So basically, that's who they are. All right? But they're pretending, just like Lucifer in the beginning pretended that he could lead in the worship. Now notice, how many times Brother Ram says here, in other words, okay, he says in other words, because he's trying to get across to us that God being the invisible Word, the message of life, the DNA code, but then the messenger can say nothing or express nothing by what the code says, what the message says, the invisible Word. That's why Brother Branham couldn't. His words could not fall to the ground. Just like the Bible talked of other prophets, their words could not fall to the ground because that was God using that vessel, okay? They were more like a puppet. I'll just put it that way. God was a puppeteer. Who is speaking when the puppeteer speaks? When the puppet opens his mouth, who's actually speaking? The puppeteer. All right? So who's actually speaking? The puppeteer. That's why their words could not fall to the ground. All right? Now, they might be thinking something different, and but their mouth is saying what he says. All right? So, in other words, I mean, I'm trying to lay these illustrations down as simple as possible so you all get it, okay? But then the messenger can say nothing or express nothing but what the code says, what the message says, the invisible word says. You cannot be what your DNA is not. I cannot be a black man. You cannot be a white man. But we're brothers. We have the same blood, the same DNA of our Father God. So do you think it's important to God what our skin color is? I mean, Jesus had olive skin, all right? I mean, all of us are different in some way in this DNA, in this chemical DNA of the earth. But our souls are the same, and we say the same things that he said, okay? So then, as I said, the messenger cannot say nothing or express nothing, but what the code says that the message is, okay, the invisible word. Then that messenger is one with the message and thus expression of the very message itself. And we, listen to this, we become the written epistle read of all men, as the word tells us. Where is it written? It's written in your DNA, your spiritual DNA. And that message is engrafted into their DNA, or they would never be one with that word. In Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he has also glorified." Like Brother Branham said, we already have one waiting for us. All right? He also glorified. That word is doxazo. God already pre-placed within us his doxa in our zoe. That's what doxazo means, doxa and zoe. He predestined us to be written epistles known and read of all men. The reason you could believe and walk in the light as he is in the light is because he placed his own message of God life into your genes, into your DNA through predestination. And he placed it in the seed that he planted in the ground in Genesis 1:11. And it was always here, but it took your birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon that seed to help you realize you have always been a son of God and a son of the King, the only immortal King. Now, Colossians 3:3 says, "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So what I was as a football player, I'm dead. All right? I'm dead. What I was as a young man, I am dead too. My DNA in the flesh is dead. It's just non-life fiber covering a God life. All right? "For you are dead and your life is hid." It's hidden in this. My life is hidden in this vessel with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that word appear means phaneru, all right, shall manifest in his true character, then you shall also appear, or phaneru, shall manifest in your true character with him in glory. Now, how many of you are a different being, a different expression, now that you've been born again, than you were before you were born again? I mean, some of you might have cursed, some of you might have done things, you know, drank and smoked and done things that you shouldn't do, but something changed you. What changed you? The God life in you. All right? And notice it says, "Then shall you appear with him in glory." With him in the same doxa. With him in the same expression of opinions and values and judgments of God. You see? Why is it opinions and values and judgments won't? Because judgment is what you say. Opinion is what you think. And values is what God life lives in you. All right? So with him, united in him, in the same glory, the same doxa, the same opinion, value, and judgment, the same message, making you the blood of God through the same Spirit. I don't want anybody to get out of here today without understanding that you and God are one. Not one like your finger is one, but because you have the opinions of God, the values of God, the judgments of God, Jesus said, Father, I pray that the glory you gave me before the foundations of the world, you would give them, that they might be one as we are one. That's John 17, 20, 22. Okay? Now, before there was an atom or electron, or before there was even cosmic light, electrons, or anything, he was God. He's the creator. And that's the only way that you can be eternal, is to receive eternal life. And the Greek word there, I think, is Zoe. Isn't that right? Zoe, Zoe. Then that life God imparts to you as the Father. And your father imparts his life to you through the marriage vow of with a mother. And he, by that, imparts the joy of imparting life for a son. And that's the way God does, a joy in imparting his life to a son. See? And then you become part of him, which is Zoe, God's own life. I give unto them eternal life, raise them up at the last day. That's the only thing. He got eternal life. And that eternal life knows its body, and it must have to come forth. It's impossible for it to lay there. From the token, what an hour that we're living now, or that we're now living. Oh, the blood identified the believer, because that the life had gone out, could not come back, so we had to have a chemistry. We have to have it like a paint, a blood, a chemistry, that show that life went from it. Now, the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit itself is the token, not the blood, or not the chemistry, is what he's saying. In other words, we see red, you know, so you can, you know, if you're going to put a picture of it, you draw red. God doesn't even look at that, because he looks through that. He sees the same life. In fact, if you take three or four sheets of red Mylar and hold up a red book with white letters on it. I've done this for the class here before. You won't see the white letters. The whole thing is red. All right? I've got Hyslop's Two Babylons. It's all red with white letters. And you put the three sheets of Mylar in front of it, and the Bible says, though it be crimson, though it be white as snow. See? Though your sins be as scarlet, they be as white as wool. So God doesn't see the chemistry. He sees the very life, okay? He had to have, like paint, a blood, a chemistry, that showed that the life went out. Now, the very Spirit itself is the token. The Holy Spirit is the token, okay? The blood was shed at Calvary, that is true. But the blood, as far as it is, went back into the elements from which it come, from the food that he lived on. But you see, inside the blood cell was a life that started the blood cell to moving. If it wasn't, the chemistry had no life in it itself, and therefore it could not move. But when the life come into the chemistry of the blood, it formed a cell. It formed its own cell. Then cell after cell, and it become a man, and that man was God Emmanuel in flesh. But when that life returned back, the chemistry went to it. The token is the Holy Ghost upon the church that they see Christ. Now, let me just explain what he's saying. When you are born of a sperm and an egg, and it comes together, the sperm is a life, and the egg is a housing. And when it forms, now it begins to multiply, and you got two, because it splits. Then from there, the chromosomes split again, and now you got four. Then you split again, now you got eight. Then you got 16, and it's forming a body, all right? So what he's talking about is forming a body around the life. That's all it's doing, okay? So from question and answer, he said, when you're born again, you're not born of physical like the baby was. But what's happened, the spiritual birth has come to you. And while this spiritual birth is growing into your heart of God, there is a physical or celestial body growing to receive that spirit. So when you were born again, but you were just a young Christian, you kind of made mistakes, like a baby in the flesh makes mistakes. Well, you know what? Your body, your glorified body was not developed yet. It was in the process of developing. All right? So as you grow spiritually, your spiritual body is growing. All right. And when the life leaves this body, it goes to that body. Just as when the body is presented to the earth, the spirit comes in. And when the spirit goes out of the body, there is a body waiting. For we know that after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, our chemistry is dissolved, our DNA from our parents is dissolved. Well, we have one already waiting. What's that? A spirit body from God. See, that's it, the spiritual body of the people. That's why Brother Bram said, from explaining healing and Jairus, the devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Say, some of these days you'll be this. You are now. Now we're sons of God. Now we're seated together in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. You won't need it then. We got it now. We're right now, we are the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justifies. Is that right? Those who he has justified, he is glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. When you die, people say, well, I was looking down upon my body, but it didn't mean nothing to me. But yet I looked and I had a body. That's what they say. Every person that's born, they have that's died, you know, and comes back. They tell about it. And they said, I had no pain, I had no hunger, I had nothing. It was just wonderful. I didn't want to go back, but he told me to go back, okay? It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he'll appear, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justifies. Is that right? Those who he has justified, he has glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Phew, wasn't that deep? All right. Well, we'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, and what we are here is a reflection of what we are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, see, that's a lot of these people. You know where you come from. You know where your other body's waiting. Wow. From identification, Brother Brown says, a reflection, you've got to be identified. And if you are, and you were in God's thinking at the beginning, see, and was his reflection here on earth, you'll bear record of the heavenly. As he bore record of the heavenly also, and when he raised up from the dead, from the grave, and was given a body, we, when we raise up, will have a body like his own glorious body. The resurrection is sure, it's a guarantee, and we have the earnest of it now. As the Holy Spirit comes in and identifies us, God's redeemed person, amen. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you are sealed till the journey's over. Doesn't matter what this body, cankerous body, might get cancer, might get diabetes, might get stroke, might have all these things. That's just this body. Doesn't matter with God. You're already sealed in. All right? From we're falling apart. Oh, if we are the sons and daughters of the King of Kings, let's conduct our character as Christians. I would like everybody to take a snapshot in your mind of that right there. Because Brother Vail said, we've got the doctrine, we don't need to talk so much to doctrine anymore, people understand it. But if they don't have the life, they're not going to make it. So we're concerned with living a sermon. All right? That's right. You're a daughter of God. You're a son of God. Let's act like, not Jesus, let's act like God. Because God's our father. Jesus, our brother. Right? We are the children of God. We know that we're sons and daughters of the King. Let our character reflect His presence no matter how rough it gets. So when Brother Branham says, you become the blood of God, he is not talking about the chemistry. He's talking about the life that the chemistry formed around it. And the life that is in you by the new birth has to form a word body around that life as well, just as it formed a blood cell around the life. That is why Brother Vail always said, get your eyes off the vessel. Don't be looking at one another's vessel. Get your eyes on the God who's using the vessel. You might not like the fact that I'm bald. All right? I don't like it either. But that doesn't cast me away, because most of the prophets were bald, okay? And I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but at least I can identify with the hairline. But I want to identify with the life, okay? Because the vessel is not the DNA of God except for Jesus. Because God created that body, but your soul is your DNA life. And your glorified body will reflect what your DNA in your soul is. Because the Bible tells us that God's word, and it says you have another one already waiting, which shows it was already in God's mind. Oh, it's so beautiful that, you know, all things will work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. You know, God allows us to suffer in the body because He says he that suffered in the flesh doesn't sin anymore. Doesn't disbelieve anymore, okay? And that is why Brother Branham could make the statement that the millennium comes out of heaven, because it also was in God's mind before the foundation of the world. It's all about God and His life, God life, His attributes, His thoughts, which is His DNA. From 1 Corinthians 2:13, for by one spirit, by one word, one life, for by my words, for my words are spirit and their life, Jesus said. So, by one spirit, one word, one life, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. You see, when I look upon mankind, I don't see color. I'm colorblind. What I do see is class, or not even class, but where they were raised at. I can tell if they're raised in the inner city, they're going to act like hoodlums and they're going to try to beat the system every way they can. If they're raised in the country, they're going to be more minded on the things of God. So, you know, I'm not prejudiced about a person's skin. I'm prejudiced whether I see the character of God living out of that person. Because I've got brothers in here, sisters in here. Brother Christian, say me your name again. Yeah. And you're my brother, all right? Most of the people in my missionary expenditures, and we've 46 brothers around the world, and I'd say not a one of them is white. And so I'm not prejudiced about helping my black brothers or my, because some are black and some are brown, you know, from India, and some are kind of light brown from South America. But we've helped them all over the place. It just so happens the white brothers that I know are don't need the financial help, but the black and brown and light brown brothers that I know around the world, you know, and you say, well, why did you even get involved in mission work? Because I saw certain people making mockery of saying, well, we're the only ones. And I thought, you know what, I've got brothers around the world. I feel sorry for them. I want them to have this great revelation. So I started going out around the world. I've been to 59 countries. My website goes out to 190 countries. And I want the people that are my brothers and sisters, I want them to have what I have. You know, I've given them of my finances. I've done everything I can to help them. Just take a little bit of pressure off of them, okay? I can't do it all for everybody, but I'll do with what I can for as many as I can, okay? So, he says, and that one body, the body of Christ, has already taken its punishment for sin on Calvary's cross, and I was there. And I know I am setting in heavenly places in Christ. Now, from Ephesians 2:18, he says, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Isn't that beautiful? In Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move. That's your actions. And have, in other words, possess our being. As certain also of your poets have said, we are also his offspring. And of course, if we are his offspring, that means we have sprung forth off of him. Then he is our source of life. And therefore, this brings us to point number two, that in that blood, in that chemistry, was the literal life of God. And the chemistry of that blood cell was infused with the very DNA of God. His very attributes and characteristics that made God who he was, that came out of God as sons, as a firstborn son, when God first spoke and said, "Let there be light," that Jesus Christ, the firstborn, was so much an expression of God that in him, God created all things. So he was the expression of God, and now through that expression, God expressed. Isn't that beautiful? Then we are the expression of God, all right? So then we were expressed through Jesus Christ. Oh, the whole thing just more than the mind can even, you can't contain it. That in him, he was the essentiality and the intrinsicality of all that God is, his DNA expressed. From Hebrews 1:1 says, God who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Notice, who was speaking? The prophet? No, God. All right? Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the brightness of his opinions, values, and judgment, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, showing it was not angels God spoke to in Genesis 1:26, when he said, "Let us make man in our image," as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And guess what? The Bible says we become joint heirs with him. Then we've got the name. The whole family of heaven is named Jesus. So, your first name is different from your last. But you are Jesus, and you're Jesus, and you're Jesus, and you're Jesus, and you're Jesus. You're Jesus, okay? You're Jesus. Who's my Father? Jesus. I came in my Father's name. He said, "I come in my Father's name," showing he received his Father's name by inheritance. "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, 'Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee,' and again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.'" He didn't do it with the angels. "From possessing the gate of the enemies, and now, but when Jesus, the Son of God, virgin born, shed his blood, the life that was in that blood was God itself." You can't be anything other than your own DNA. That life was eternal life, and there is only one form of eternal life, and that is God life. Therefore, it had to be God's own life in his own Son. Now, from the token, Brother Branham said, he created both the egg and blood. That's exactly what he was. We handled God, the Bible said. In 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What's godliness? Godlikeness. God was manifested in the flesh. He wasn't flesh, he's spirit, remember. But he was manifested in the body of his Son. We handled him with our own hands. That body was God, certainly was. He was God all over, in human, in the form of a human being. Now we must balance this with a statement also from Brother Branham, where he said, from God's gifts always find their place. He said, now notice, and after then the wise men identifying him, what he would be. And we find through the scripture that's exactly what it is. Deity in service for death. What for? Deity in service to God for death. Jesus was deity in service for God, for death, to redeem the world. But what did the world do to it? They refused it. They rejected it. Why? Some of them, a big part of them, did that because he did die. They said he couldn't be deity and die. The man, the body, was not a deity, but the deity was in the body. I could say that about you. The man, the body, is not deity. The vessel is not deity. But guess what? If you're born again, the deity is in you. All right? This body has to perish. The very life, the very Christ that's in you is the only thing that can raise you up. That's deity, God in you. Okay? Now, God life in you is deity for service, to live as he lived in his firstborn son. We no longer have to die but to self. He, being of the same body, died, so the rest of this, of his body, doesn't have to die. You can't die twice. So the deity itself is a life, but the chemistry of the vessel is created being, and as a created being, it has to perish, for it had a beginning. It surely must have an end. In other words, I don't want this same body in the resurrection. I don't want the same body in the millennium or the new earth. I want a body that's commensurate with resurrection and new life, and that's, I want my God body, okay? So we are not looking at the vessel, the body, the chemistry itself, when we refer to the blood, but we are looking at the spirit, the life, the very nature in him and in you. Now, next week we want to show you that Jesus was such a perfect image of his Father that he didn't come to express himself, but he came to express his Father, and we have come to identify with that same life and express also our Father to this world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the word that you've given us. And we, Father, we pray that we just relish in it and realize that we are by one blood, by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.